Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Tom won't be with us tonight. Tom is off doing what Tom most always does. He's helping people that need help. Tom isn't just a Bigfoot hunter. I've been riding with him for several years now, thousands of miles, and the one thing that Tom does most is continually help people. You just have to know him to believe just how big-hearted he is. It doesn't matter if he's, if it's a helping sick friend. He helps people with employment problems. Tom is out there. He's always doing, and he's always doing for other people. Right now, him and Father Ray's out there on the road, and gosh, I think they just to their destination after a day and a half of driving. And anyhow, everybody keep him in your prayers. Him and Father Ray both. All you people that don't actually know him, have never been on the road with him. Like I say, you just can't even imagine how good a guy he is. Sometimes he gets a little aggravated at people, but when it comes right down to it, he'll still give him the shirt off his back. He gave me and Sweet the coat off his back, and I don't know. I just want everybody to know that Tom's not laying out. Tom's doing what he does. He's out there helping folks. Now that I've said that, to bring my buddy Sweet on, and me and the Sweet have been together for, running together out in the woods for a few decades now, together, combined my hunting time and his hunting time. We've got over 100 years of hunting in between the two of us. And Tom just took us in like a couple of stray dogs. And he calls me every week. Calls me every week to check on me. He calls the Swede to check on him. He wants to know how everybody's doing all the time. And hey, John Seed.
Yes, I am.
Am I not correct?
Oh yeah. You know what Tom's deal is? Like he told me just the other day, he's got his vaccination and he's fixing the breakout. So.
Yeah.
I guess he's breaking out.
I have a feeling that's exactly what's going to happen. He's talking about going to Australia, and he invited me, which I thank him for. I feel bad because I had to turn him down because, I've got a business that I've got to run and all kinds of other stuff, but mainly it's because I'm scared to death flying. tonight Tom's not going to be on, but we have a gentleman from Florida that's going to talk with us, and we've got Leo. Let me get Leo on. Hey, Leo.
Hey, what's going on, Rock? Hey, how you doing, Sweet? My two favorite people.
Doing well.
Everything's going great down in Arkansas now that we've thawed out some.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, how things were going with that monsoon of a snowstorm that came your way. I was thinking about you and Sweet often, man, but I could hear the news.
It wasn't so much of the snow. It was just that in Arkansas, the last time it got down to 19 degrees below zero was in 1907. So some of us didn't have enough warm clothes.
Good gracious.
But it's all good. The first time I ever met Tom, it was snow up to my butt. And he called me and, I was not very forthcoming with any information at that time in my life, but anyhow, he said, I'd like to talk to you, and I stuttered around there and was fixing to tell him no, but then he said, I'm just right up the street. And so I said, yeah, come on. So he was there in about 5 minutes. And so he was literally just up the street. And it was kind of weird because I had, at one point in time after my my little ordeal, and all the people that listen in have probably heard it 100 times. But after my little ordeal, I got a phone call from an outfit called the Society for the Study of Human and Aerial Phenomenon, and they wanted to interview me about what happened to me out in the woods, and I refused. Well, sometime after that, I was contacted by Unsolved Mysteries. Same thing, wanted to interview me over, you know, about what happened to me out in the woods. And the way they found out was the guy that was with me and my dad and my brother that swore that he wouldn't tell anybody, apparently told everybody. But then sometime after that, I was contacted by Monster Quest. And, well, same reason, same answer. But no, I don't want to talk to you. And then Tom called, and we were on the phone together for about 3 minutes. And I kind of read in his voice that it's somebody that wasn't, that I could trust, somebody wasn't going to make a fool of me. And so him and his sidekick, Youngblood, his mini-me, came in and hung out at the restaurant with me for 2 hours. And then after they left, he called me back and said, "How would you like to be on our podcast, our webcast tomorrow night?" And I said, "Oh, well, what's a webcast?" Well, okay, yeah, I didn't know. But anyhow, I got on the show, and I finally got around to telling my story, a story that I hadn't even told the Swede until, probably a year after I told Tom.
About a year.
Robert got aggravated at me because I hadn't ever told him about it. And Tom, he heard it when Tom had the BBC down here to interview me. Of course, you know, they just got the back of my head, which is probably one of the parts of me. But anyhow, when it's all said and done, when we walked out to the car, Robert was kind of quiet, and I said, I asked him, "What do you think?" And he said, "I think you're an asshole." I said, "What?" He said, "You never told me that." And I said, "Well, you know, I didn't want you to think I was crazy." And he said that he knew a long time before that I was crazy. But, you know, he kind of chewed me out for not filling him in. But then he got to go out to the woods with me and get his little dose. So, like I say, tonight Tom's not going to be on. It's going to be me and Swede and Leo, and I see that my buddy Doyle is on. Doyle, famous for the tales of the Arkansas Reveille, and we have David Sheely on from Florida with the Florida
Skunk Ape
Swamp, Skunk Ape Research,
yep.
Project.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh my gosh, I know Florida's good.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just get him on?
Bring him on. Bring Dave on.
Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't know if you've seen the news or not, but Florida's just awash in tourists right now. And the Everglades, we normally get about 1 million visitors a year. This year, I think we're going to be up to about 2.5 million. And so I live right in the middle of the Everglades and right on the road that passes through it. So my shop's been busy. I've been crowded. I've been getting about 800 people a day into my facility. And but it's good. But I was just listening to you talking there and about, you know, I was on Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. And so, I mean, I kind of went through the same thing you did. I kind of handled it differently. I live in a 3 million acre protected wetland. It's the largest wild protected area east of the Mississippi, the Everglades. And it's my home. My family moved here in 1890. And so my neighbors are all Indians and stuff like that. I actually had a nice Indian lady came over tonight and built a fire in my yard and cooked me dinner. And it was so good. I was about to fall asleep early, but I stayed up because I knew I had a show to do. But so I've heard about skunk apes all my life here growing up. I had my first sighting when I was 10 years old. I was here before a lot of this land was preserved. So there were folks living out in the woods that would share stories with each other about these animals that they'd see. So I saw one when I was 10, and then in 1991 is when I took the photographs when Robert Stack came here, and I just felt like that. There was so much development going on the east coast of Florida and the west coast, and that I really needed to let people know, make people aware that there was something here that needed protection and people needed to know about. So I went whole hog. I took on everybody. I was on the Stephen Colbert show. That's Comedy Central. I actually got the best of on that show. I did shows worldwide. And it was Japan, South America, and the photos were out there. Then in 2000 is when I took the video that Smithsonian has up on. They've got it on their YouTube site now, and it was just on the History Channel and then on the Travel Channel. But I look at my work. Not just as research in the skunk ape, but bringing awareness to the Everglades. I have a really neat facility. I actually own the second largest snake in the world, which I caught here. It was a non-native python. It's 24 foot long and weighs 300 pounds. So when people come into my facility to talk about skunk apes and learn about them, they get to see some of the invasive species that they're causing problems here in the Everglades. I also have giant alligators. I have 1,000-pound alligators. And this Saturday, I'll be talking to people, doing photographs, and teaching them about the Everglades as well as skunk apes, feeding alligators and stuff like that. But I'm just really, really proud of the work that I'm doing. I do a lot of television. Not just about the skunk apes, but on the Everglades as a whole and stuff like that. So even though I am the Florida's expert on skunk apes, it's much broader than that. The most recent, I talked to one of you fellas earlier today about the sighting. Yeah. And so I have so many people coming in, so many eyes out on the back roads and in the national park areas. The national park receives a lot of sightings as well. In fact, they have partnered with an orangutan facility in Indonesia now, and they're bringing researchers from Indonesia here because they believe that what we have is a small troop of escaped orangutans is what people are seeing. But if you've ever seen my video, it's obviously not an orangutan. So I talked enough. So now I'm just going to listen. And I'm fascinated by how long you've been doing this because not that many people have. From the Patterson film, there was a guy named Peter Burns. Do you remember Peter Burns? He was a Bigfoot hunter a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
You heard him? Yeah, he's been here with me. Richard Greenwell, who's a world-renowned cryptozoologist. They were some of the first on the scene here. It's interesting. And I want to listen. If you got questions, I'll answer them. But I'm happy just listening to y'all.
I got a question for you, David.
I actually got into it. I had my little incident in 1994. And it was several years after it happened that that I actually talked to Tom, and like I say, he came down to visit with me three different times before I finally just, you know, give it up to him, told him what the whole thing was, and you know, it's one of those things. There were other people involved, so you know, I'm not mm-hmm. real big on going over it and over it, but anyhow, so happens that the Swede has spent, I know he spent a number of years in Florida. I think he's pretty familiar with South Florida.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about those guys. I'm familiar with everyone you spoke about, but you skipped somebody. You know, Bobby Tiger from Hialeah there, you know, the Seminole Indian.
Yeah.
When I was a young man, you know, he had his little alligator wrestling thing going on there, which was cooler than anything, but I spent some time with him, you know, prior to Tom even. I was pretty young kid, but I was going for this was back in the, actually in the 60s, and he, I can remember talking to him, and we used to go on the Tamiami Trail and have outings, you know, thereabouts out there in the Glades where you're talking about. And I lived there. I lived in Cutler Ridge.
Oh, and, nice.
Before we ever, we had the fifth house that was developed in Cutler Ridge. My father did. He taught at Douglas MacArthur High. And I was very fortunate that I was able to get into Florida at the time, you know, when the Everglades was, as you say, was very pristine. And Bobby, we were there talking, and we were getting ready to go do a deal, and he kept talking about, he didn't call it a skunk ape. He just said it was he called it a wild man or a bush man or something like that. I don't remember, you know, it's one of those kind of things. There wasn't any mainstream name that he called it. And I can remember him taking a piece of palm and drawing in the sand a footprint. And it was exactly the same footprint that you would see in the casting right now. And he would say, put both your feet toe to toe and it won't fit in it. And he would make a handprint that was a huge handprint, and this was probably like 71, 2, somewhere in there. And when we went to the Glades, I mean, when we went on down the Tamiami Trail, if you know where I'm talking about, the break at the Tamiami Trail where it goes up and then it goes back down again, there's a road that turns off to the left and it goes back on Seminole.
Oh, let me tell you, that's Loop Road, and that's where the sightings are right now. I've had four sightings reported right at that break by four different people in the last month.
Yeah,
right there.
Loop Road. Loop Road. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Yeah,
David.
Yeah,
but
that's a hot spot right
now. I've camped out there as a child. A young man. With a fixed blade knife and anything that I could carry in a matchbook, and we would stay for 1 week in a matchbook. So that was some
it's
pretty good stuff.
Area.
I never I never saw a sighting, but I did see footprints, big footprints. Mm-hmm. Bobby showed me, though. He told me what they were, but we never had experiences of them with the night, during the night. You know, of course, it was always sheltered, you know, just a simple shelter stuff. And it's South Florida. You don't freeze, right? So
No, not usually.
And I was going to tell you something else about your big snake, too, something that I wanted to pass along. Back then, Bobby Tiger and Dr. Haas from the Serpentarium, I don't know, I'm sure you know.
And he's super cool, yeah.
Yeah, from the Serpentarium. He said that
Bill Haas, yeah.
In our lifetime, in my lifetime as a young boy, he said that reticulated pythons and Burmese pythons would take over the Everglades in my lifetime.
It's going on right now. I have 12. I'm one of the few people in the state that's licensed to have them. I have a chipper and everything. I can catch them, but I can have them for educational purposes only. But he was right. Now, I've only found two of the reticulateds, and like I said, one of them is the second biggest snake in the world. It's only inches short of being the new world record. Now, they're here. I don't know if you watch the television shows where they're catching them in the Everglades.
I got a friend of mine that I went to school with, David. He lives in Bel Air, you know, right there at Cutler Ridge, and he tells me about that they're there all the time. But it was very interesting to me because I could remember in Redlands.
That's interesting. But them Indians can see the future kind of in a weird way and stuff, you know.
Well, they saw them because they were already there. They were already there. I can remember in Redland there.
I can remember there
was a guy at a gas station, and he raised the car hood up, and there was a reticulated python curled up on top of the engine. And this was like in 1971, too.
Yeah,
it was
that's
probably
cool.
A 10-foot long snake then. You know, somebody had turned it loose. You know they're breeding.
Yeah, that's the rule. People get a snake, they don't want it, they bring it to the Everglades and let it go. That's why they just passed all these. It got harder than ever now. I have to have hurricane plans and everything to maintain my permits because they just last week, no more snakes in Florida. No more big pythons.
You know, David, back then, you know, it was before the iguanas. I'm sure, you know the iguanas are crazy then. We saw iguanas wild back then, you know, in the ficus trees. We saw them. We saw chameleons wild in the trees. And, you know, they're not supposed to be there. But we saw them back then.
I just went bowman the other day. We were shooting iguanas down in the Florida Keys. I'm a hunter. I'm pro guns and I'm a hunter and all. But we were shooting them big iguanas out of the top of the trees, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't like doing it, but we were doing it. That's what they wanted to do. So we went out shooting iguanas, and they were everywhere.
Well, they're pretty good to eat, I guess. So you can eat that tail and that back strap. It's supposed to be some pretty good eats. But yeah, you know, from back in the 70s to today's date, you know, that skunk ape, as we called it, and I can remember reading a little paperback. It was just a little paperback book. It had a little cabin on the front of it and was written from the West, and it was written by Ivan Marks. And Ivan Marks wrote that little – it was a little paperback book talking about Bigfoot and throwing stones on their cabin, you know, during the night, throwing rocks at them and stuff and hooping and hollering and carrying on. And the skunk ape was a pretty prominent thing, and my parents had they raised chickens. I mean, they had chickens, and they sold eggs to Miami, Florida, and all. They were, you know, top notch in Coconut Grove and everywhere else to all the bakeries and stuff. We supplied fresh eggs, fresh chicken eggs, and there was a lot of people that talked about a skunk ape in the highway. They would see them with their, you know, they'd be driving during the night and see them crossing the road. So yeah, it's been going on. It's a wonder you don't have like a full blown video, you know, I mean, like something, mm-hmm. you know, we could run on primetime.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Hey, Dave, I got a question for you. Hey, hey, this is Leo.
But anyway,
hey,
I just wanted to put my two cents worth in there. Go ahead and carry on.
Oh, and I want to tell you that that's fascinating. You know this area very, very well, and that's fascinating. I enjoyed hearing that. I mean, it's like talking to a local. It's really nice. I appreciate that.
Well, you know how it is when you go across the Everglades. You can walk through sawgrass, and then when you get to a hammock and you get up on the hammock, it's a whole different world on the hammock.
Yeah, I'm within a quarter mile right now of about 50 hammocks. I live on a sweet grass prairie that connects to the Gulf of Mexico. I know just what you're talking about.
You get on the hammock, you see a lot of things that are very unique. Very unique.
I'm in a hammock right now. I live in a hammock. My home is in a hammock. Right now I'm talking to you from hammock.
That's awesome. I used to swim in some of those big clear pools, you know, off down through there in Kissimmee, and from there all the way down to the south, and there was nothing to swim in that clear water with a 10-foot long alligator, and you could swim right beside him or go down there and grab a soft shell that was as big around as a laundry basket, you know, and let him swim you around like a, you know. I did all that. I did it.
You know, did you know Buffalo Tiger's airboat ride? That was an old one. That was a tiger. Yeah. Well, the girl that cooked me dinner tonight here in my yard, she owns it now. She's a tiger.
That crazy. Back then, they used exclusively VW engines.
Yeah.
You know, Volkswagen engines. They were air cooled. That's what they used in their airboats.
Mm-hmm. I have a fleet of airboats and a fleet of swamp buggies that we use in my research. I'm licensed through the park. I have special use permit license. I've got some really nice airboats today, and so does Miss Tiger that was here. So we do a lot of airboating.
That's very cool, David. Something else I wanted to bring to light too, and I don't even know if they're still there or not. But I used to be really in tune with the indigo snake, and I don't even know if they're still around.
No, the pygmy rattlesnakes and indigos are gone from the Big Cypress. You'll find a few to the north, but you don't see any more pygmy rattlers. They're saying it's a parasite that was in the Burmese python killed them. And the indigos, they say, were over-collected, but I don't know if that's true.
We used to catch – I used to have indigos there at our place in Homestead, and there was a bunch of them that just hung out, you know, regularly, the six-footers, and they're beautiful and very, you know, very cool. We used to catch them and carry them around and show everybody and turn them back loose. And, it was just a common thing.
I'm fixing to purchase a couple. It's highly illegal to possess them now, but I can purchase them from a breeder. I'm getting ready to purchase some for my shop because you're right. They're beautiful.
They're beautiful, baby. Well, good luck on your hunting and stuff, man, and keep that camera rolling. I'll step back here and if somebody else have a chance to talk. I just wanted to bring it up. It's a big, I don't know if you ever been to Matheson Hammock. It was a beautiful place. Cape Florida, beautiful place where the lighthouse is.
My dad grew up in Cape Florida where the lighthouse is. Yeah.
There's a beautiful lighthouse. I caught a 6-foot barracuda off that seawall in 1969.
That is awesome. I just got back from 3 weeks in the Keys. I'm fixing to do a show on Discovery. My friends have a 50-year-old treasure claim down there. I love everywhere from Cape Florida south. I love it. When I'm not in the woods hunting skunk apes, I'm down there. And I'd like to we'll go ahead and move along, but come see me sometime. If you get down here, man, I'll hook you up. I got cabins and everything. I've got Indian huts on my land that I rent out nightly, but I'll hook you up. Just come by.
So, David, I was going to tell you really quick. You talk about that claim. I was going to tell you right quick. There at Cape Florida where the lighthouse is, if you're facing the lighthouse, you go to the left on the other side of the seawall, and there's three big rocks out there in the water. I found five gold coins beside that rock.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That was way back then. I'm going to step back. You all get after it.
Okay, fellas, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a commercial, and then as soon as we come back, we're going to let Leo ask his question. Here we go. Well, I said, here we go. Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
And we're back. Leo, jump in here, buddy.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just learned something new about Swede. I'm going to have a lot of questions for Swede now. I just learned a whole lot about Swede. Swede, we're going to do a show just strictly on the Swede next week then.
Yeah, hey, we can do it.
Hey, man. Hey, you know, David, I've always been intrigued with you because I've always seen the videos on the History Channel you know, people pointing you out as the foremost expert on the skunk ape. I know a lot of people can say that they do research, and some of their research is not validated, and they don't have anything to back it up. But in the 2000 video, the July 8th, 2000 video, and I'm looking at it right now, what brought you to that particular spot where you spotted that skunk ape?
That spot is directly behind my facility, about a half of a mile. I own a campground. I got 150 campsites. At that time, I had 50 hunt camps in it. So I was just out. It was pre-hunting season. The deer were rutting, and I had brought my camera. I was just going to try maybe spike the interest of some hunters in Miami to come out and stay a little longer. And it was an area where I had saw it as a child. And so it, you know, didn't completely throw me off, but I heard something splashing behind a hammock. I heard water, and what you really can't see in the video is that there's about a foot and a half of water in that marsh there where it crosses that marsh. So I was actually out looking for deer to film. I was looking for some nice bucks just to kind of start a fire and the hunters, get them out here a little early, get them to stay a little late. But that's what got me out there. That was the question I answered. I got to tell you, I spend, like, last summer, you normally I'm not home at night. I'm out. And in the summertime, I go out at night, not because I think skunk apes move more at night, but just because it's so hot during the day. And I cover about 10 miles in a night, and I walk the grass prairies to the mangroves, and I go all the way down to the edge of the Gulf. And And I encounter things that are unbelievable. I mean, they say there's a million alligators in Florida. I say there's a million here in the Glades. And I mean, you can literally trip over when you're walking. They're laying in the grass, and so I come across them regularly. Crocodiles. When I get down into the mangroves, there's a lot of the Florida crocodiles. This past year, I ran into 3 or 4 of them, and they're a little more aggressive. And then when I get down into the mangrove islands, I'm on foot, so I'm crossing. I know where the shallows are, and I'm crossing sandbars and stuff. And I have bull sharks come up on me, and not to mention we have diamondback rattlesnakes and water moccasins and coral snakes. So this past year, I said to myself, I said, I've just been lucky because I literally spend thousands of hours. I spend 100 hours a week all summer long. I mean, I'm out there. Uh-huh. And, it's just a matter of time before I step on a snake or, stumble across an alligator that gets the upper hand on me. And I'm getting older now. But I'm going to do it again. I'm gearing up right now. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be here tonight, but my car is having some transmission work done, or I would be in the woods tonight. The water levels are falling. When it starts falling in the swamps, there's a mud. It leaves a clear mud where I can pick up tracks. So I spend night after night out. I spend a lot of time in the Everglades. More than I can even imagine. An incredible amount of time. I basically live out there.
How big you think this creature was? The one that you filmed in 2000.
It's the one in 2000. Well, I got a show coming down here, and it will be the first time that anybody has ever went to that site to take measurements and to actually do any real research other than Unsolved Mysteries. Not putting anybody down, but television is just a bunch of crap. I'm behind the scenes on a lot of Discovery shows that are filmed in the Everglades, and it's all baloney. It's not filmed. They don't film in national parks. They say, well, we don't really want to go through the process of the permit, so they find somebody with some private property. And they go there, and they want to fake everything. And I'm just so sick of it. And that's 90% of everything I've done. And I tell you, it just sickens me. But I finally got a show, so we wouldn't apply for the permits. We actually have to have park rangers on the set with us because it's in a restricted area. And we're gonna get those answers. But just a guesstimate for me, I'm going to say 7 feet tall.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead. That you were talking about some of the footprints having been torso'd.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Me and the Swede found a series of footprints here in Arkansas, and it was 1 foot was four-toed. The big toe was gone. But the Swede just informed me that the Boggy Creek monster was three-toed. My question is, when we talk about completely different critters or just offshoots of the same family?
This is a sticking point. This is a sticking point I've had all my life. Bigfoot research facilities in the Pacific Northwest, right away, which, I forgive them. I guess, but I mean, they were calling me a fraud and calling me all kinds of names. I have over 200 castings that I have collected in the past 40 years here in the Big Cypress Preserve, and they're four-toed tracks. And traditionally, historically, correct me if I'm wrong, But all the tracks, all the way from Maryland south into Florida, people have always talked about a four-toed track. It wasn't until the Bigfoot in the Patterson film that a five-toed track even appeared. If I'm wrong, I can be wrong. I'm only human, but, I mean, this is what I find.
Well, we found several sets of tracks in Arkansas, and I guarantee you there's nobody out there walking around barefoot in that stuff. But we were in Rockwall, Texas, and same thing. It was a five-footed print, five-toed print.
Yes, sir.
And then let me see, in the Ouachitas here in Arkansas, we ran onto some five-toed tracks, and you know, I'm just and you know, and then like I say, the one down in Falk, Arkansas, that was a three-toed thing. So you know, I just you know, it just, I'm curious as to if they're the same species or they're just
I get your question. I can tell you that if I were to ever see a Bigfoot, which I don't go in areas where people see them, I would say a skunk ape and a Bigfoot are identical. They look exactly the same. But skunk apes, the reports I get, especially my most recent ones from the Loop Road area, are even a smaller animal, maybe 6 feet tall. So I think that they're considerably smaller, but not that much, but they're a smaller animal, and that the track is not the standard, you know, golly whopper Bigfoot track that Patterson and Gimlin
right.
brought out of the wood. It's smaller, it's different, it's got four toes.
The ones that the reports that you're getting from Loop Road, are they bipedal walking upright? Are the reports that you're getting?
Yeah. And it's different people. 1 week a guy stops in, he tells me where he saw something cross the road that was unusual on two legs. 3 or 4 days later, and matter of fact, I'm hoping they left their number here. A young couple from Key Largo knew nothing about skunk apes. They were there, and they saw it. They reported it to the Rangers, and the Rangers sent them to me, and they reported it was the same spot and a smaller animal, maybe 6 feet tall, not 8 feet tall, but more like 6 feet tall.
Walking the daytime or nighttime crossing?
Now, the thing that I
Day
found
and night.
Out in the woods – the thing that I encountered out in the woods was maybe inches taller than me. I'm a big 5'8", and it was just, uh-huh. I mean, it was six foot maybe. It was a female. The Swede, when we were out in the woods, what he saw was, of course, you know, we couldn't make details because it was midnight, but he's an upholsterer, so we have we put string across trails, so you know when we're out hog hunting and stuff like that, so we'll we'll get an idea of what time of day they're coming through that particular area and all of that. Well, that night we had strung all the way around our camp. Okay, the Swede was tying it up as high as he could. The Swede is 6'4". Well, when it came through, it broke the string. So, and you know, what was down there that night was quite large.
Hey, Rock.
Had my encounter with was 6 foot, maybe.
How many toes did it have, Rock? That's because I know you. I asked you this one time
five.
Before. So I had five. Okay.
It had five. Okay. It had the big toe split off more like a thumb than a toe.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. A couple of my tracks, I keep thinking that there's another toe that it's just not pressing into the ground, and I haven't found it yet. But there may possibly be another toe that's maybe set a little higher on the foot that's just not making an indentation. And those are the things I'm looking into. Another thing is, a lot of the sightings that I get here are in trees. Skunk apes climb trees. People see them in the trees, and you don't hear about the Bigfoot being in the tree, or I haven't heard of anyone telling me about a Bigfoot in a tree, but it's not uncommon for people to see the skunk ape in a tree.
Hmm.
So it looks the same. It looks, if you see my video, it looks like a Bigfoot.
Hmm. Hey, David.
Yeah.
It's Sweet again. You know where Kendall is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Across Hialeah, there you go back in there, and there where Kendall is.
Yeah.
I went to church there. There was a church there. It still is. Probably still is there. There was a church there, and they poured a concrete slab for a basketball court. And there was three tracks across that concrete. They finished it up. It started raining. They just got it done, and everybody took off and left, and it was like right at sunset. And there was three tracks across that concrete.
Hmm.
And it looked like somebody with a pair of socks on, and I was just thinking about your four-track thing. And it was all four toes.
Yeah, it's weird.
Toes across that concrete.
I tell you what, it is a divider between me and the Bigfoot Research Organization, everybody. And I'm not argumentative. I'm not saying Bigfoot doesn't have five toes. I'm just saying the tracks I'm finding are four toes. But it's been is going to be brought up in this television special I'm doing, because there's a well-known guy who hunts skunk ape in North Florida. And he finds five-toed tracks. And they're going to place him, pit him against me in the debate about the tracks. But to me, there's no debate. It is what it is. I wish the hell they had five toes. My life would be a lot simpler.
It could have been five toes, but the way it was mashed into that concrete, and they left it there. And probably if you went to Kendall right now, you know where the Hialeah, you know where the where they play the – where they play the game?
High lie.
If you go across the railroad track there and you go across that road right there at that facility, you go across the railroad tracks off of, used to be US-1, I don't even know what it's called now, but you go across that railroad tracks there beside that, and you go right around there, it's just a little ways, 3/4 mile. That basketball court is still there, and those footprints are in that concrete.
Holy cow.
How big were they?
Okay, so real quick, like, I have one thing that I need to say, and that is, Doyle, are you there?
Kick back and listen.
Hello, Doyle.
How's it going?
Come
okay,
on, Doyle.
Do you have any questions?
No, I'm just wishing I could see one for the first time. Like I say, I've seen the prints, and I've seen five toes. Is all I've ever seen.
Well, you've heard something just right outside camp a couple of times, haven't you?
Well, I'll tell you what. What I heard in Dutton, Arkansas was not of the Ozark Mountain chain. It was something primate. I never heard it. Heard it two nights in a row. I don't know. It was crazy. I've heard a lot. I just can't wait to get my first experience of seeing one. And I've been out there a lot. I've been out there for over 12 years now with Team Biscardi. And I'm telling you guys, there's some freaky things that go out in those woods at night.
Yes, there is.
No.
Yeah, we've me and Doyle, me and the Swede, we're as up on Dutton as I guess you can be. We had Doyle down there questioning the guy that had been living out there for quite some time. He had him a campsite there, but he said that there was three in that area. He said that he had seen the female and a juvenile. He said he had never seen the male, and he wanted to keep it that way. But he showed me and Tommy two footprints out there that they were five toed, but you know I wouldn't question anybody about, you know, I don't doubt that there's four toes, five toes, three toes. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen them. I've seen five toes. When we were in Florida, we saw a five toe, and I can't remember the guy that invited us there. But David, I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad I got the Swede on the show. This has made for some pretty interesting podcast here. It's one of those things for some reason, every time we get started with, you know, somebody knowledgeable, it seems like the time just goes way, way too fast. And before we run out of time, I want to remind everybody about the Bigfoot store. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com. We've got all kinds of stuff. You know, if you need a coffee cup or a cap or a jacket or a T-shirt or just all kinds of stuff, you need to go to the Bigfoot store and order some stuff. And I definitely want to thank David for calling in. And Swede, thanks. Y'all have made for some pretty interesting stuff. We'll have to get together. Now that I know David's phone number, maybe we can get together off the air and find out more stuff that we didn't know. But Leo, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for Doyle. I'm glad I got you on this time. I tried last time, but I guess I was just hitting the button wrong. I don't know. I want everybody to say a prayer for Tom while he's out on the road. He's trying to get our Father Ray settled in. And so I'm going to say good night to everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming on. I want to thank everybody that listened in. Like I say, David, Swede, thank you. Leo, Doyle.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
We will see y'all. We will talk
nice to
y'all.
You, David. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your wonderful show. I enjoyed every minute of it.
We're going to have you back when Tom comes back, if that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, anytime. Just let me know. I'm okay. In.
Okay, sir.
Good to meet you, David. Right. I hope I get to talk to you again.
Very nice.
I'll
yes.
give you his number
like
after a while, if you don't mind. Okay. I want to thank everybody, and the time is at hand. Good night, everybody, and keep Bigfooting. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Everybody take care.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Brought them together, reason for the facts.